Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? I thought as it's almost Christmas, then I would just have a little chat with you this week about what's coming up and how you can just prep. We did a little bit of this last week, and I've had a couple of clients this week who found it really useful just to focus on what they really want for this festive season. I've said it loads of times. It can be such an emotional time. Ridiculous triggers pop up when you least expect them, and we can get ourselves into, you know, a real twist about stuff that's gone before, what's happened other years, and what may or may not happen this year. Of course, wherever you are in the UK, it's highly likely that you're in one tier or another. So I don't know if your plans have had to change. I think all of that really adds to all the uncertainty. There's so much fear and uncertainty around at the moment. I really hope that you're managing to stay connected and managing to really look after yourself at a time like this. Really focus on your mental health, because there's no doubt about it. If you listen to too much mainstream media, you can actually just feel the panic rising, right? So I've done lots in the past on quick ways of just changing your own state. And I think it's just really important to try and remember when you're going into a period where you're just feeling such anxiety, most of us are anyway, we need to be able to quickly remember how we can change our state and feel okay again. And of course, you know, it's Christmas time, so everyone's thinking about what they're going to be drinking. And I thought it'd be great to focus on kombucha this week. I'm having a bit of a boochatastic week, actually, because this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, 19th and 20th, my show on Sky TV. It's channel 191, the showcase channel. I have a little show as part of Feel Good Factor TV. It's called Being Imperfectly Natural. It's just one little segment. It's usually on at 9:15 on Saturday and Sunday. And this week we're featuring a naturopath, Enid Taylor, who actually shows us how to make kombucha. So, I mean, just a real quick demonstration, but it's quite nice to see her actually, what actually happens. And then in addition on that program, there's a little clip from my alcohol-free mocktail tutorial video thingy. And I mentioned that this was going to be going out this week and we were going to be talking about kombucha. And then I saw loads of posts on social media from people saying, oh, I've made some, or I've made my first batch. And then, of course, I think I've mentioned before, we had a really fun session in the Sober Club a while back where a member who is a bit of a domestic goddess and is really good at making kombuchas and things like that was explaining the importance of burping the kombucha, which I found, you know, absolutely hilarious. But anyways, I thought, why not talk about it again? Because, you know, not everyone knows what kombucha is or knows about the different types, because they really do vary. And one brand that I absolutely love is Boucher Kombucha. So I thought, let's ask Bryony, the founder, about a little bit about, you know, what how she came about making kombucha and what's unique about hers and just, you know, what the lowdown, really, because she's been sober for a similar time to me. So I think it's always fascinating. I just think it's fascinating to see the things people create once they've ditched the booze. So you're going to have a chance to listen to Bryony just tell us a little bit about kombucha. But first of all, I thought I'd just run a few kind of questions by you. So it's a little kind of mini coaching session coming up here. So you might want to grab a pen. And it just is the stuff that's been coming up for my clients lately, thinking about Christmas particularly, you know, thinking about this festive season and asking yourself, okay, if this festive season was how you want it to be, what would that be like? What would it be like if you were acting the way you wanted to, if others, you know, were, if it was effortless, if you had the festive season that you would like to have? Now, of course, we're not being bonkers here, because much as we'd probably like to be jetting off to the Caribbean or whatever, absolutely none of us are doing that, any of that. So by its nature, everything is pared down, this for most of us anyway. But given that we probably know by now what we're doing and what we're expecting and who we're spending time with, at its best, what might it look like? Sometimes we just kind of go headlong into everything and we have this kind of little bit of a sense of hope or maybe a sense of dread, but we haven't actually focused on the realities. So this is actually quite a good exercise. So just ask yourself, what would it be like, you know, if it was good, if it was how I'd like it to be? And then, of course, the really important question would be, what I have to be like for it to be like that? OK, I love these questions that we do a lot of in NLP, where it throws it back to you. So we focus on what is it we want? What would it like? What do we want it to be like if it goes well? And then throwing it back to yourself, what do I need to be like for that to happen? And this is so important, because that's where these little voices in our head can sometimes pop up and we can kind of acknowledge, well, actually, if I really want Christmas to be relaxed and fun and people in the family getting on with one another and us to have, I don't know, a nice time watching the telly or whatever simple pleasures we've put in place, how do I have to be? And often what springs to mind is, even though we don't necessarily like to voice it, well, I need to be sober. I need to be, you know, calm. I need to not be like a screaming banshee or, you know, raging at other people in the family. I need to not sulk. You know, a whole bunch of things that we kind of recognise about ourselves that have perhaps held us back in other festive seasons. We're all human, right? But I think these questions can be super helpful. So we can ask ourselves, what would I have to be like? And if you do get an answer come to you, such as, well, you've got to be calmer. You've got to actually let some stuff go. If there's family tensions, ask yourself, is it really a good time to start having massive, great big arguments over the dinner table? Or maybe you could just let it go, call a truce for that period or whatever. But really throw it back to yourself, take responsibility and ask, what do I have to be like then in order for it to go the way I would like it to go? And then when you know that, you can then look at that and say, well, what would support me? What support do I need both to feel that way and for my festive, you know, holiday or whatever to go the way I want it to go? And some of that will be support from others, and it might be that you have to ask for help. Again, we've done lots on this in previous podcasts. Asking for help is super important, and we're not very good at it. So maybe you need to ask for help for practical stuff, and maybe you need something to resource yourself, some ways of resourcing yourself so that you can be the way you want to be. So that might be that you need to put a bit more self-care in place before you head into those days over Christmas. Maybe you can't just literally keep on fighting over Brussels sprouts or whatever you're doing. Maybe you've actually got to take yourself off for a walk in nature or factor in some time for you. Well, whatever it is for you, hopefully you're getting good at knowing what the resources are that help you. And we were talking last week about these tiny things. It's not always the big stuff, because people sometimes say to me, well, yeah, I know what makes me feel good. It's, lying on a beach and wherever. Well, we can't do that right now. But what little things make you feel good? These kind of tiny habits. We mentioned last week that these little resets, that sometimes it's a 60-second reset that makes all the difference, that changes your state. Standing in a power pose, breathing deeply, just literally changing your posture, or lying down for a few moments, or just going and sitting with your back against a tree. I've mentioned that a lot, even if the weather's not great. But ask yourself, what are these little things that work for me? And make sure you've got lots of them kind of to hand, as it were, little resources that just help you feel a little bit better. And be really honest, you know, if you've got something coming up this festive season that you just find really hard, ask for support, ask for help with this. And get to know your own values and your beliefs around Christmas. I mean, we're getting real close to it now, so, you know, not a lot's going to change. But you can challenge yourself on, what is it that I'm expecting? What's really important to you that you're worried might not happen? The whole family thing, people that you maybe don't see from one year to the next. you know, to another year. Is it always everything always left to you? Are you always the person trying to calm down other people and ease the arguments? And again, last week I mentioned this thing about identity and Christmas time, festive times. We often put on a new identity that isn't even really ours. And we kind of find this identity and we slot it on like an ill-fitting suit and we wear it for the Christmas period and then kind of wonder why, when it's all over and we take the suit off that didn't fit us anyway, we feel absolutely frazzled and exhausted. And ask yourself, well, why am I doing that? Why am I putting that identity on? And can I change? Maybe I can actually just say to the family members, the kids, whoever it is, the friends, whoever you're spending time with, maybe I can just say to them, you know something, this year I kind of want help. Or this year I'm not going to get upset about X. And definitely, of course, this year I'm not going to drink. Hope that's a given. and ask yourself, this is important, what present would you like? And of course, by that, I don't necessarily mean what, you know, what dressing gown or bottle of perfume or whatever, but what present would you like to give to yourself? And yes, of course, that can be a physical present. You can treat yourself to something that you want. But what about if it was a gift of something, something emotional, or a gift of a behavioural trait that you could gift to yourself? Ask if you could gift yourself, you know, the gift of patience or the gift of unconditional love or the gift of kindness, and see if you can kind of treat yourself to this stuff, because it's all just what's in our head, right? And when you've kind of thought about that present and that thing that would make a difference, see whether you can do some of these tiny resets that work towards that. So that you're effectively taking responsibility. And then the ings are the other really important thing. If I'd have been really clever, I'd have done a lovely kind of acronym here, wouldn't I? But anyway, I didn't. But nevertheless, we've got the ings, all the ings that are really important to remember to try and fit in to our lives. And they are the little things, the ings, the dancing, the baking, the walking, running, painting, knitting. Often they're creative, not always. All the ings except drinking. Okay, if you think of it like that, you won't go far wrong. Because, of course, when you quit the booze, you do find you have a bit more time and you will be able to get up Boxing Day morning feeling great. If it is your first sober Christmas, then, you know, I do remember that it feels big and it feels like it's going to be tough. But if you do your preparation, it's wonderful. It's absolutely joyful, because ultimately it just means you're drinking something else in your glass. Please remember my phrase, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. Yes, have a lovely glass. Yes, have something if you always have something with whatever you normally do. But make it something alcohol-free. You know the choice is amazing. And prep in advance and make sure you've got something that makes you feel special and grown up and matches with the identity that you really are going to choose and matches with that self-care, you know, that you're putting in place for yourself. And the final thing, which again, I've said this a lot of times, but there could be somebody new to the podcast. So especially if it's your first sober Christmas, make sure you do a WHOOP. And we know that WHOOP stands for wish, outcome, obstacle, plan. So specifically for Christmas, ask yourself, what is my wish? How would I like Christmas to be? As I said at the beginning, you know, what would it look like if it was great? And then the outcome piece is put the detail on it. So exactly what will that be like? If it turns out to be as good as I would like it to be, what will happen? And really put some detail there. And then the obstacle, of course, is what might trip you up? What might make it so that actually something goes wrong and you don't behave the way you want to, or you do find yourself craving a drink, or you do end up acting in a way that you really hadn't planned? And then, of course, the P is for plan. So given that you know all of this now and you've prepped ahead, how can you prep? How can you plan so that that doesn't happen? Do you need to give someone a heads up who's coming to you for Christmas or who you're meeting for Christmas? Do you need to send them a text and say, just want to let you know I'm not drinking, so it's more for you? Or do you need to buy certain things so that you have them ready? Or do you need to factor in some extra time for yourself? So they're really simple questions, but just by kind of grabbing a pen and noting them down, this makes so much difference. It's absolutely incredible. On the presents, by the way, I have a book coming out. It's not till February, but just found out that the ebook is being released January the 1st. So that's really cool. So, if you wanted to pre-order that, it's on ebook across all formats on January the 1st. And it's called Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. And it's perfect for anyone who's at the early stages, because we have a full kind of 30-day sort of challenge in there, and loads of tips and ideas for supporting you in the early days and weeks. Obviously I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt, so I share my story and recommend a lot of the stuff that I didn't do, but I now know really makes a huge difference to how that flows. So if that resonates with you, pre-order that book. It comes out on January the 1st as an ebook. And then the other massive section of the book is all around lifestyle. So whatever stage you're at, you might be 6 years sober, you'll find stuff in there that's super helpful, because we cover everything. There's nutrition, there's NLP, there's exercise, there's relationships, there's sex, there's the menopause, there's everything, anti-aging, absolutely everything. And it's not just me, by the way. I've got some amazing experts. Again, just like with the podcast, I've kind of reached out and asked a few people if they'll offer their tips and their expertise. So we've got some sections in there written by some really amazing, amazing experts. I'm so grateful to them. And a foreword by Denise Welsh, which was just so lovely of Denise to be willing to read the book for me and give me a foreword. So Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. The ebook in all the formats and Kindle and all of that is out January the 1st, and then the main book February if you wanted to do any pre-ordering. Let's get to kombucha. So happy to be talking kombucha again with the lovely Bryony Osborne from Boucher Kombucha. And Bryony, thank you so much for joining us. It's ages since I spoke to you.
I know. Well, it was just before lockdown. So yeah, thanks for having me on again.
I love your brand. I recommend it all the time. So, so gorgeous and just such a treat. But of course, when I run the Sober Club and with lots of things I do, I do still get people obviously who say, well, what is kombucha? And not everyone knows. I mean, I didn't until a couple of years ago. And I think I've said before that I went to Canada and it was about, was it 3 years ago now? No, two and a half years ago. And I just couldn't believe the way kombucha is, part of their culture. It's in every corner shop. It's, you can buy it on a little stand in the hotel, and you can buy it in the gas station, and literally it's everywhere. And of course, in the UK, we're getting a bit better at it now. But to some people, it's still a well-kept secret. And for people who don't drink, I mean, it's just an absolute joy. So before we get onto your brand, just tell us what it is.
Yeah. So, like you, I had no idea what kombucha was until I gave up drinking. And then when I tried it for the first time, I was like, oh my God, this is magical. This is just this beautiful elixir. And then I started obviously researching it a bit more. So on a very basic level, it is a fermented tea. You can use black tea, white tea, green tea. Mine's a green tea. And it's fermented using a combination of good bacteria and yeast. So it's much like you would ferment a wine or a beer. You kind of add what's called a SCOBY. So that's a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. And it looks disgusting. It looks like a big sort of pogey thing. Big mushroom thing that you put into a sweet tea. So you sugar the tea first. And over a period of time, generally 2 to 3 weeks, when I'm doing my huge batches, obviously it's a bit longer, the yeast in the SCOBY eats all of the sugar and digests the sugar in the tea and creates alcohol, which obviously we don't want. So the bacteria then digests the alcohol and turns it into these really gut-friendly enzymes.
Right. So we absolutely can call it alcohol-free. So for anyone who's just at the start of this journey and they're still not, they're not quite on, haven't quite got their head around the ridiculous labelling of the, is it alcohol-free? Yes. Is it 0%? Is it 0.5? Just explain that for us.
So, Boucher kombucha is 0.5%, which is considered non-alcoholic. Anything I think below 1.25 is considered non-alcoholic. It's 0.5 is about the same as a ripe banana. So it's literally a trace. You're going to find that level of alcohol in lots of different foods, things like sourdough bread, and yeah, any kind of very sort of overripened fruit will start containing alcohol. It's just a natural thing that happens. So yeah, the fermenting process does create alcohol, which is why alcoholic drinks are alcoholic, but kombucha is that unique extra thing where the bacteria in it then consumes the alcohol. So it brings it really, really down to sort of almost trace levels. I would, if you were making your own kombucha, it's worth trying to find a testing kit of some kind, or some brands can be 2 to 3%.
Oh, wow, really?
Where I live, which does do a sort of 2 to 3% one, which is obviously still very, very low. But if you really are very concerned about having that level, then, you know, I would double check with some. But the majority you will find that are commercially produced will be low, very, 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 very low. Yeah.
Yeah. And just again, just before we talk about your brand, just for anyone who is making their own kombucha, as you say, you have to get your SCOBY. And I think it's probably always a good idea to name it.
Yes.
Because you've got to feed it, right? You've got to keep it alive.
Talk to it.
So, and how long does one SCOBY kind of live for? Do they kind of have babies? Is it a little bit like when you make natural yogurt? Because I made natural yogurt for a while, and I had a kind of a mother thing for that, and I called it Horace.
Yeah.
And then of course my, you know, bad parent that I am, took off on holiday, and poor Horace, I allowed poor Horace to die, and I've never really got over it. So what is the etiquette around looking after your SCOBYs?
Well, SCOBYs, they do grow like another layer. They come in these kind, yeah, they sort of peel off, if you know what I mean. So you start with kind of about a centimetre thick, and then that will get thicker and thicker as it ferments the tea, and it's just a byproduct of it. So you can actually then peel a layer off and give it to somebody else, and then they have their
culture. Yeah, you see, kindness is good for you.
Yeah, a bit like sourdough starter. But obviously you can, they can kind of add up, you know, if you're kind of doing it all the time, because if you're constantly fermenting, then they're constantly growing. But I know lots of people who just keep them in a jar with some of the starter liquid, which goes very, very vinegary. So if you would just leave it, it would grow quite large, and the liquid below it would be very, very vinegary. But you do need some of that liquid as a sort of a starter liquid with your SCOBY when you make a new batch. I actually made some the other day. Well, it was back in October. I made some because I was doing a kombucha workshop and for a yoga retreat, and I forgot about it. I brought the whole thing home with me, and then we had loads of work done to the house, and it was just left on top of my fridge. And I found it literally a couple of days ago, and it was so vinegary, but I've just kept it. I've decanted it into bottles, and I've got it in my fridge, and I now have that because it's so rich.
So it's really good for your gut, isn't it? The gut bacteria.
And it's amazing. And I have it like you would, like lots of people have a cider vinegar. Like
yeah, a shot. Yeah, yeah.
And I put it in the morning as well, like in a bit of warmish water.
Great. And I mean, the other thing to bear in mind for people who are making their own, actually, a Sober Club member told me this because she was making some kombucha. She was saying it's really, really important to burp it to kind of release the air, which I found absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
So just explain to us, because she was saying otherwise you might have this, you know, explosion.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the second part of the fermentation process. The first one, you tend to just leave a cloth over the top. It kind of needs the air to be able to get into it. Once it's fermented for a certain amount of time, you taste it and see if you quite like the taste. Then you do the second ferment, which is where you take the SCOBY out and then you seal it. And that's when it starts to generate a little bit of carbonation. And so that, once it started producing that, if you don't open the lid every now and again and let some out, if you just forgot about it like I did, then it would. Luckily, mine didn't have a lid on when I left it. It was still with its SCOBY in it. So it didn't explode. But yeah, I have had it before. I had bottles with corks in, and I would just suddenly hear pop, 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 and then all these, the corks.
Amazing. Pop. Now, as you say, there are lots of varieties, you know, available, and lots of different sort of flavours. And one thing that concerns people sometimes is the sugar. So we've already spoken about the alcohol. It's just a trace. But then people say, but what about the sugar?
So there's such a variety of sugar levels in kombuchas that I've seen. Mine is very, very low. So Boucher is 2.7% for the white variety, the original variety, and it's just 2.9% for the rosé, which does taste a little bit sweeter. But the sugar is still very, very low. I mean,
you obviously have to have the sugar because that's what feeds. That's what ferments it.
But it's about how much sugar you put in initially for the fermentation process, and then continually testing it so you get that right balance of acidity. So, because Boucher is trying to emulate a wine, I wanted it to have some sort of level of acidity there, but it still needed to have that fruitiness to it, which obviously wines have. Mm. There's lots of kombuchas on the market which are more heavily flavoured. So they'll make the kombucha and then it's heavily flavoured afterwards. Ah. And I think depending on how much flavouring you put in, particularly if it's fruit flavouring, fruit concentrates and things, then that could again contribute to it being a higher sugar. Still far less than any sort of, you know, fizzy pop.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was that when my first experience of kombucha was, I tried some that were quite kind of fruity, sort of raspberry or whatever, and I really didn't like them at all. They were way too sweet for me, and I don't normally drink fruit teas anyway. So I didn't like it. It didn't feel as though it was necessarily particularly healthy either, because I didn't check the sugar, but I'm guessing it was quite high. When I tried yours, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, number one, it just looks so gorgeous. It looks like nothing else. It just looks like a really stunningly classy wine bottle, you know, even nicer actually than any wine bottles. It's so light. Yours is such a light taste. I've no idea what you do, and I'm sure you're not going to give away all your trade secrets, but that really is that kind of the USP that you've got. You know, this is not your kind of cloudy old sweet drink here. This is something really subtle. So tell us a bit about what happened for you then when you decided to create it.
So it was all about trying to take a kombucha, because I'd tried some unflavoured kombuchas which were really lovely, but I wanted to find a way of making it a bit more like a wine. So it was about looking at all of the wine flavour profiles, so looking at the sort of nice dry but slightly fruity wines, the sort of the Sauvignon Blancs and the Muscadets, which are sort of minerally, we came down to gooseberry and quince as the kind of sharper, greener fruits to put in there. And so that was the basis of the white one. But it was about putting a very tiny amount. So our flavours, they're there, but they're in a very small quantity. The new bottles we've now got, so we've now gone up to a 750ml bottle, because that was what everyone seemed to be asking for, because they were in a 500ml bottle before. And people were just going, I want it to be more like a wine, you know, even more. We want more of it, basically, to share and stuff. And we've done a slightly new filtration process with it, and that has made it even clearer. So it's kind of, it was a little bit cloudy before, but this is even clearer. So it kind of looks even more like a wine. It feels even sort of lighter.
Great. And you've got this new flavour now as well, the rosé.
Yeah, so rosé blush. A rosé blush, which is slightly sweeter. I've got a bottle in the post to you as we speak.
Excellent. Perfect for Christmas Day.
It definitely still has an acidity. We did bring the acidity down a little bit, because again, it's this live drink, which changes depending on what the weather's doing. You know, when you're fermenting it, like if you're making it in winter, you know, it takes a lot longer to kind of get to that right level. So we did experiment a little bit. But, you know, that's the kind of fun of making kombucha. Mm. It's like, you know, trying to find all these different, you know. So the rosé is a bit sweeter than the white. But we've used a very small amount of organic strawberry concentrate in that, just to kind of colour it a little bit and give it a slightly different fruity note.
Yeah, I think it's really important as well to point out, isn't it, that, you know, quality is everything in your drink. So it's, you know, it's organic. You've taken the trouble to make sure it's organic. I'm guessing it's vegan as well. You know, which is great. These things are super important, aren't they? That's excellent. Yeah. So just tell us where we can get it then. I know you've also offered us a lovely competition, so that's amazing. We've got a case of mixed kombuchas to give away. Just remind us where we can buy it.
So at the moment it's on my website, which is bouchakombucha.com. So that's B-O-U-C-H-A kombucha.com. It's also for sale at wisebartender.co.uk, which I know a lot of people go there for their
Tom's going to be on the show in a couple of
options.
weeks.
And then at the moment, we're just sort of spanning Sussex in particular with lots of little independent stores.
Is your aim to get it into sort of bars and pubs if they ever open again?
Oh, well, that was the entire plan in the beginning. Mm. You know, when we last spoke in March, that was kind of my aim, was to get it into all the bars and restaurants. But obviously the trouble that they've been going through at the moment, I think it's not their main concern, you know, to sort of be taking on a sort of a new thing. At the moment, they're just in survival mode, but it's definitely somewhere I'm going to approach. Again, I think I'm just going to start with kind of the more independent little local wine bars and eateries in Sussex, where we're based for now. But yeah, that is definitely the aim, and then sort of wider retailers as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Bryony, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's great to chat with you. Thank you for inspiring us and for your amazing brand. We should say as well, you know, I've already mentioned the bottles look lovely, but the whole design around it is really lovely. How did you get to come up with that?
I just wanted it to look refined.
That's a really good description.
I wanted it to have a nice kind of image on the front that was like a painting. Mm. And I'm very lucky that my mother is a fine artist. I found some images which I felt really kind of reflected how I feel about sobriety and not drinking, this kind of sense of open, like freedom. And these, so both images on the bottles are kind of modern landscape images in a really beautiful palette, and they kind of have an open aspect and big sky and fresh air.
It's beautiful.
And nature as well. And I think that's what represented to me, you know, my sobriety and being sober and getting out in nature and freedom, you know.
Yeah. How long ago did you ditch the booze?
2.5 years. I'll be 3 years in May.
Amazing. Fantastic. Yeah. So how exciting. It must be so brilliant for you to have, you know, just come up with this and to be working in this industry. And I bet you wouldn't have had the energy if you'd been drinking. No,
my everything changed in those kind of, it was about 6 months, you know, after giving up drinking. It was suddenly my creativity, my productivity, everything suddenly came alive. And you know, I knew I wanted to start my own business. I wanted to have a big sort of life change, and I think the alcohol was really keeping me stuck. And you know, as I was getting closer to 40, I was thinking, you know, something needs to change. And when I changed the alcohol, suddenly everything else
Isn't that amazing? I've heard so many people say that you know, that they start businesses and whole new projects, and suddenly there's this sort of energy that you didn't know you had. It's amazing.
I know, and it's been a huge learning curve. You know, I knew I wanted to make a beautiful drink for non-drinkers, but learning about the science about kombucha, then learning about business, learning about the industry, you know, every step of the way has been like just quite sort of mind-blowing and, you know, quite exhausting.
And then having to navigate all the problems of the last year that we've just had, goodness.
Exactly, which obviously heavily affected me, although I actually found that my direct to my customer business grew hugely, because suddenly people are now buying more online, people are looking more at their health,
people are looking more at
their drinking habits in lockdown, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. And,
so that's been a really positive thing.
Yeah,
I think.
And,
yeah,
great.
We give up drinking, the better, I say.
Absolutely. Well, I really look forward to raising a glass on Christmas Day or before. Thank you so much, Bryony. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Jamie.
Take care.
So we'll put that link to the competition for you to win that mixed case worth, I think it's about worth 48 quid, something like that. So we'll pop that in the show notes as well. I'll put a link in the show notes as to where you can pre-order Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. The ebook, as I say, is out January the 1st and the main book out in February. So you can pre-order on Amazon. I'm going to be doing a special New Year kind of coaching about setting intentions and all of that stuff. Something really quite celebratory. I just haven't chosen my date yet, but it'll be early January. So obviously I'll make sure that you get to hear about that. And all that remains is for me to wish you a great Christmas. By the time the next podcast is due, actually it'll be Christmas Day, doesn't it? So I don't think you want to be listening to me on Christmas Day. So this will probably be the last one you listen to. So whatever you're doing, have a great time. Stay sober. You will just feel so fantastic if you do. Trust me on this one. Drop me a line and you know, visualize yourself. You can start with that. Visualize yourself messaging me on Boxing Day. Okay, put in your diary a little note. Message Jamie on Boxing Day on social media or wherever, and tell me that you've rocked it sober. Obviously, if you want support and connection, we do a ton of stuff in the Sober Club around all of this. There is just so much in the member portal, so much content and information and amazing connection and support and sharing. It's not a big group. It's not one of those groups where you get lost. I'm in there literally all of the time, practically 24/7. So there's loads and loads of connection. It's definitely not one of those groups where nobody answers you for weeks on end, nothing like that at all. There's a really great connection in the group, though I say so myself. So you're very welcome to join us. It is open, thesoberclub.com. And of course, there's various blog posts there. There's a blog post on bossing your Christmas sober with some of these coaching tips that I've just been mentioning. There's also one on Christmas treats. And of course, there's a recipe for mulled wine. And obviously this competition that I've already mentioned today. So there's a bunch of stuff on there. You know where to follow me. It's just at Janie Lee Grace across social media or Facebook at Janie Lee Grace Loves. And have yourself a fabulous festive season. If you're struggling, do reach out for help, please. And hopefully there'll be a podcast before New Year. But if not, this is the last one you listen to. Then set your intentions for 21 and make sure that you rock it into 2021 without booze. What's not to like? Sobriety rocks, right? See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.